give me a fat beat to beat my body chest.
My friend needs
you tell me what my story is, woman! You,
sir, I hate that 50th celebration.
Sir, what am I supposed to say, Jesus?
Notice you've coupled my beard.
What do you want me to do, drag the dragon through the hole? Wait,
and your mom!
This is the last Jedi, one of the best Star Wars movies.
No one else is going to deal with the fact that Cap just said language.
I know.
If the world throws you with ass for
all right, everyone, we are back after a long hiatus. We apologize about that. As you can see, or actually you can't, there's only two of us this evening. Nico is feeling under the weather, but we definitely wanted to get back to recording for you guys. So tonight it is just going to be me and John. And John, let me know what you've been up to.
Man, I just ain't really been up to much. Just working, going to the gym, making goofy videos, just playing video games. Nothing too exciting going on in the world of me.
Okay. As you know, I just got back from Disneyland, so I have been a little busier. Spent more money than I should have, as per usual. But also, I learned some things about some of our favorite brands and some things coming out in the near future. And I'm just saying, keep your wallet ready. There's gonna be some great stuff coming from some of those companies, i.e. Loungefly. But John, why don't you let us know what our first episode tonight is gonna be about?
So what we're gonna get into tonight is, I don't know if a lot of people know what South by Southwest is, but we are going to get in the Disney portion of South by Southwest. And if you don't know what South by Southwest, this is basically what it is. It's a convention that's held every single year in Texas. They basically bring in a bunch of different major companies to talk about new technology, music, just all different types of stuff coming to the whole world, basically. So that's kind of what South by Southwest is. And this was Disney Park's first year attending South by Southwest. So Josh D'Amoro was obviously the one hosting the panel, and he had some really cool stuff to talk about, and we're going to kind of touch on those features. Most of it is all Blue Sky stuff, so I think we're just going to jump right into this right here.
As most of South by Southwest and other conventions are, we can sit here and knock Blue Sky projects all day long, but if we're really being honest, even announced projects have ended up being scrapped for one reason or another, and Blue Sky projects have ended up happening. So really, in the grand scheme of things, every Disney announcement is a Blue Sky announcement until it's not.
Pretty much. It's all just ideas, you know, just ideas coming off top of the dome. But some of the stuff he did do at South by Southwest was, you know, the biggest obvious one that they've been throwing in every Star Wars fan's face is the realistic lightsaber that they have made. So it seems like they do have two of them. There's one that Josh carries around to all the conventions and shows off, and there's the one in the Star Cruiser that they use for the fight scene between Rey and Kylo. And I think it's the second night they do that. And then they also had the life-size Hulk there, which was a really cool thing. They had the Hulk prototype thing, which is, I don't know, are they doing that? Did they do that when you were in Avengers Campus last time? Did you see the Hulk this past week
at
the Avengers Campus?
I have not seen the Hulk, but I mean, he was announced at D23 last year that he was coming to Avengers Campus, and he did. He was there after we left. I've not been around the campus when he's been out, but I believe the South by Southwest announcement was that he's going to Paris. So again, I feel the reason that they were at South by Southwest for the first time ever is that a lot of people left D23 last year feeling like we didn't get enough information, we didn't get as much as we should have got. So I really think that the attending this was really an addition to D23 and some of the information they didn't give us, because they very easily could have been like, oh, the Hulk is going to both Avengers campuses, like that's a logical thing. So to use that as part of your stage time and be like, hey, this is coming to Paris, that's not really a convention announcement, like especially one in Texas. Like people in Texas aren't,
yeah,
like, oh cool, you're taking this thing to Paris. But I didn't see the full announcement. So what was the whole thing with the lightsaber? Because we've already seen that lightsaber. Were they teasing that it was going to be available, like, as a purchasable product in the near future, or what?
They've yet to make any type of announcement or tease that it's going to be purchasable. I think it's just something they show off to say, hey, look what we've done in Imagineering. We've created a real lightsaber. So I think they're just a show-off piece in a sense. I don't think they're trying to sell it. I wish they'd sell it. I would definitely try and save the money and buy it. That'd be such a cool thing. But it still looked really flimsy when Josh turned it on and turned it off. The blade coming out of the hilt still looked really flimsy, so it's definitely still a prototype. So
it's
see it for sale.
It's not a combat well, I mean, you can still do it. It's a prop. Like a prop.
Even in the Star Cruiser, when they do the show, she switches out blades to actually do the combat. She does the real life one, and then she drops it, sets it down on the ground, and switches to like probably one of the legacies or something like that, and does the combat with that.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, do you know how that lightsaber functions? Like how it is.
I saw the patent for it. It looks like there's some type of like. It like real mechanic in there almost like
yeah,
a
it's
like a fishing itself, rod type of thing.
The blade itself is essentially what a measuring tape is. So
yeah, that's what I was getting at, like the inside of a measuring tape.
Yeah, you have some measuring tapes that are like electric where you can just hit a button and they'll extend out on their own. It's that same concept, it's that same material, so it is flimsy. It's essentially two measuring tapes that overlap, like that are curved, and then there's a cap on top of them which pulls and unwinds a thin LED string, and that's what illuminates the blade.
Yeah.
But that's why it moves up so slowly. But I mean, it's a prop. Like, I don't know why they don't just make it readily available, because it's unless they just don't want competitors to take it apart, look at it, and try to make it better than what Disney's been able to do. But I mean, that is a cool thing. Like, someone could go to a convention with a lightsaber on their hip, someone wants to take a photo, and they can ignite the blade. Like, it's just for photos, it's just for show, it's for cosplay. It doesn't need to be a combat ready thing. Like, I don't know why they're so afraid to make it, to mass produce it, unless it's just super expensive to make.
I think you kind of mentioned two of them. I think the first one is because it is expensive to make, so to mass produce them to where even if you try to mass produce 15,000 of them to release all at once and flood shop Disney and release them in the parks and how they would normally do a release, I think would be insane. Two, I think it's the fact of if I take my 10-year-old into Doc Ondar's, and that's his one gift. He gets to pick it out, and it's $300, $400, $500. And let's say the parent buys it, and he's flinging it around, and it breaks. There's no return policy on that.
True.
So that's another thing I think they look at is, you know, if we sell these as an item to buy to the public, how many lawsuits and complaints, and what is our cast members, and what are we as HR going to deal with when the flimsy blade breaks because the 10-year-old doesn't understand, nor does the parent understand, that's not the toy. That's supposed to be used for cosplays and it's a collectible item. It's [S2] Sure. [S1] Not a, it's a collectible. It's not meant to be banged or whatever. And then I think the third thing is something I'm going to mention about the other Blue Sky things is I think Disney knows how crazy people get about these things. And I don't think they want a frenzy on their hands for a simple lightsaber.
Fair enough. And I just want to pivot back to Hulk. Another thing, too, in the rare off chance that someone from Walt Disney Imagineering listens to our podcast, I just want to say this right now. That Hulk that you guys have, that exoskeleton, very, very easily could also be an armored Baymax when San Francisco opens up. So if there's not an armored Baymax already in the works, I know you have the big giant one that you fly around for the fireworks show right now. Just make an armored Baymax version. It's the exact same build. It's the exact same mechanics with having... I understand that the Hulk, you have him in the time travel outfit because it was easier to just put his face inside a helmet and versus trying to make a working, functioning mouth to talk. Baymax is exactly the same way. It's just a helmet with eyes and a speaker coming out of it. Like, you could make that thing tomorrow. If you don't mind, just go ahead and make sure that's ready for opening day of San Francisco. Yeah. So that's my 2 cents on that. John, why don't you tell us
Before we go on, the fun fact about the Hulk costume, or not costume, the giant, right? Is it a costume or is it an animatronic? I have no idea what the hell it is.
It's a costume.
It's a costume?
It's okay. Like an exoskeleton. So, there's a guy in there.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought. So that exoskeleton was modeled after the anatomy of an ostrich.
What?
That exoskeleton, like what they modeled all that after was the anatomy of an ostrich.
In what
sense? Because they had a whole... It didn't make sense to me either. I saw a girl's video of it earlier. She was walking around the Disney exhibit they had at South by Southwest, and they had the exoskeleton on display, and the board of information saying how it was modeled after an ostrich or something like that. I saw it on TikTok. I thought that was an interesting fact. You fact check me on it. I just thought it was just she was looking at the board. I didn't know it was modeled by an ostrich.
I'm gonna try to look it up because I don't know what you're possibly talking about.
Hold on, I'm gonna see if I can find the TikTok. I swear. Let's see, SXXS.
There's actually a CNBC article where in an interview they talked about other possible characters that they could use the exoskeleton for, from the Mad Titan Thanos to Baymax from Big Hero 6. So yeah, so they've already...
I just sent you the TikTok. Pretty sure that was it.
We can watch that later. But yeah, one of their exoskeleton hands is already like Thanos purple, which I thought was interesting.
I mean, that'd be sick, man. I'm walking around Avengers Campus, and I see Thanos coming out. I want a pit.
Well, the Thanos that would come out at Avengers Campus 2 would not be the Thanos that we know. It'd be the Thanos from the new ride. It'd be King Thanos, where he has a crown with a beard and everything. I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
What else did they show at South by Southwest?
So something else that I thought was really interesting was they had a new prototype robot, and I'm sure a lot of you may have seen it videos on TikTok, but it looks just like Officer Judy Hopps from Zootopia, which gives me hope that we're gonna get a Zootopia land in Orlando at some point. But this thing is basically a mini version of the Spider-Man in Avengers Campus that does the show. It leaps, it hops, basically on roller skates, literal rollerblades. It jumps, it hops, it does flips. I think at one point it could talk. It climbed out of a crate and flipped over the crate. So it's essentially the same thing as the Spider-Man animatronic, but just Judy Hopps version. And it's like life size, what like Judy Hopps size would be. And you can look at the face too and tell they definitely modeled it after Judy Hopps. So I think that's really cool. What you think?
No, I did see the TikToks about that. It absolutely is Judy. There is a new ride, somewhere is getting a Zootopia ride.
I believe it's Shanghai. I believe it's going to Shanghai. Which that leads me to kind of like into something I've been thinking about for a very long time. A lot of these blue sky projects, just like the Judy Hopps thing or the next thing that we're going to talk about, as much as I hate to say it, I don't see like that coming to a North American park. Because, and this is like, it's, I don't want to say it's disrespectful, but it's the truth of how North American crowds are when it comes to characters and meet and greets and cool things like that. I mean, look at the way people acted when like Mando came out on Galaxy's Edge a week ago. People freak out and go nuts over it, and then it's like, it's almost a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's almost like a, like an issue to bring stuff like that into the crowds in North America because of the, I don't even know what I'm trying to, like, I know what I'm trying to say, but I can't think of the words. Like it's a risk of things breaking and people getting too close and breaking it, I guess you could say. So yeah, like overseas, like people have respect. Like people respect things overseas more than they do here at the North American parks, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You get what I'm trying to say? So, like, yeah. Narrow it down for the viewers.
It's the same logic behind what happened with Mando on March 1st.
Like, don't touch him. People start touching him. Ago.
Well, here's the thing, too. But the problem is, it's not that they have more respect over there. I guess they run their parks differently because, I mean, Disney World is the tourist park, and some of the reasons that the Walt Disney Company has said or alluded to that reasons why we can't have the same things Disneyland has is because we are the tourist park, that there is a language barrier, that there's just not this understanding, and then also just it's also the heavier park for Americans to go to. People, like, if they're going to take a vacation, they're going to go to Orlando.
They go to World.
Then they're going to go to California. And so we are the tourist park, but at the same time, we're also the American park, essentially. And that is, I think that is more in where the problem lies. That, I mean, Mando was swamped. I mean, granted, the area they put him in is the absolute most chokehold area of the park. He was never going to. Have you seen the stuff about what his walking path is?
Isn't it from in Galaxy's Edge East, isn't it from where the Star Cruiser entrance is through the shops?
It's just it's just in the shops. He comes out of one door at one end of the bazaar, and he goes into a door at the other end. The bazaar is his entire area. That is where he exists.
That whole area is a cluster of, even without a meet and greet, there's a whole cluster of people there from open to close.
And he has such a small walking path, too, and limited times during the day because of the Star Cruiser. The reason we didn't have Mando before or any of the other characters like Boba Fett is because they completely – they mess with the
– messes with the timeline of the Star Cruiser.
And stuff like that, so they can't be seen when Star Cruiser – but I'm like, that's really easy to determine when they can be seen, though. Like, that was such a cop-out answer by Disney. It's just like, well, you know when you let the Star Cruiser people into the park, so just don't have them out during those times or those days. Like, I'm sorry, but that's a really simple solution. But we do definitely have the parks that that complain more. I will say that. I don't think it's so much a matter of disrespect to, like, how the ride or animatronic or characters would be accepted. It's the disrespect from individuals to the Walt Disney Company. It wouldn't be worth the headache for people to be like, well, we came here to see the Mandalorian and we didn't get to see him or whatever. And it's just like, well, did you pay attention to when he comes out? No, we expected him to be out. And it's just like, there are people that would do that they would complain. I mean, I don't know if you saw this is no hate to this individual. The video just upset me. Obviously, well, also, I don't even remember the person's account, so it's not like I can even tell you who. But I saw a video where the video was titled on screen that they got hustled by Universal Hollywood. And I'm like, what do you mean you got, like, they got taken advantage of by Universal Hollywood? And I'm like, or they said they were running a scam, but then they referred to it as a hustle. They referred to it as being taken advantage of in the video. And basically, it was this family that went to Universal for their kid's birthday, expecting to go to Nintendo World, and they didn't read anything. They didn't pay attention to anything on the website about how you have to buy an early access pass or you have to have a certain type of pass, and that you can't just go walk in there yet because it's not fully open yet. And this person made a whole video attacking and complaining about Universal and blaming them for something that was ultimately
I know what you're talking about now. This was when they were doing like the preview, like you could buy a ticket and add the pass to the preview or something like that.
Isn't that what's still going on? I don't think it's still fully open.
Are they
yet.
Still? I thought they had a grand opening.
I don't know.
Had a full blown grand opening to it.
It could be an old video. I just saw it today, but it just bothered me because I'm just like, no, they are not scamming you. They are not swindling you. that was an early access, like, it was the, it wasn't open any yet. It was a soft opening. You chose to go there, not do your, and it's the same thing with people that come to Disney World. Like, there was a lot of problems during the pandemic where people were coming here and not paying attention to mask mandates or anything like that. And then the fights that were breaking out with people in security about where they had to wear their mask or being asked to leave. Oh, yeah. It's just like, no. And I'm like, that right there, unfortunately, the reopening, I think, is what showed the Walt Disney Company what they can and can't do, I feel like. Because there was just a lot of disrespect towards the company and for them just trying to be safe. So imagine how they are when safety's not even a factor anymore. It's just everyone was still just, it was personal gratification and they didn't really give, they didn't care about anything else. And if that's how we behave in the worst of times, you don't really give them much faith that you're going to be able to handle.
No, you don't.
New characters or new things.
And that's the other thing I was thinking about this as I was like kind of typing all this out earlier. That's the, one of the bigger reasons, like us being a tourist attraction, mainly not only for the world but the most visited theme park in America, is, and the way people are, is another reason why it's very hard for us to get new things here, new lands and new rides that aren't, you know, rides that are Splash Mountain, for example, just old rides refurbished into something new themed. I mean, Tron is the newest roller coaster that's happened at the parks in years. And the other, I mean, not only do we not, is because of everything I just said, but it's also because, like, just overseas, a lot of the parks are kind of like Disneyland is to here. It's a lot of locals that go to those parks overseas. It's not a lot of tourists. They do get their tourists, but yeah, it's not as big as an attraction as here. So I think it was either Shanghai or Paris. A couple years after they opened, the park died completely, almost was dying off, and they realized that the locals were bored of what was already there, because they were like, okay, we came, we saw, that's it, we did it, one and done. I think it was Shanghai. It was either Shanghai or Tokyo they did it. And they're like, okay, we got to keep the park fresh. And that's like, it sucks here that they don't keep the parks fresh, but it's because of the giant tourist attraction that it is for the globe, essentially. So that's kind of an interesting thought. That's why we also don't get new things. But the other cool thing that happened at South by Southwest was that I think is kind of a little bit cooler than the Judy Hopps thing, is they had a Tinkerbell that you could have a real life conversation with, and she was in the little lantern thing, and I don't know how this technology, but it was I don't know if it's somebody in a room somewhere and they have a holographic Wi-Fi thing, and it's got to be something. It's got to be some type of AI program. It's got to be somebody in another room, because I've looked at this thing like closely, and it looks like the leaf that she's standing under is a hologram projector, almost like how Rey is in Rise of the Resistance, but instead of it being the same video, it's somebody talking somewhere else into that, like via Bluetooth. Like, it's insane.
I haven't looked into it enough, but I believe it is a more advanced variation of the technology they use for Beauty and the Beast with the Beast transformation that everyone's obsessed with, where right before your eyes, he transforms from the Beast suit to the person. And if I'm remembering how someone explained that correctly, is it's something to do with, like, a screen. Like, the other person is not, like, the one character is physically not there, and what you're seeing is, like, a seamless, like screen, and it's showing that, and then they basically just switch it. Like, it fades out to the other one, and then the one who's actually there is, like, there. I think it's a variation of that where it is the same kind of technology, but Tink is, like, maybe right behind the curtain. Or, like, basically, they're Wizard of Ozing us with
Tink. Oh, yeah.
She is, oh, that yeah. person was physically there right around the corner, or some, whether she was within earshot or has some sort of microphone set up inside that lantern. That was a real person having a conversation with them, and you're just seeing them in a mini form because of some some screen and like monitor technology.
That or they have the voice down perfectly with AI. That or they have the voice down perfectly with AI and someone's typing the responses somewhere.
I don't know. I don't think it's...
Because AI technology is very far in advance, more than people think.
I felt like that was...
So someone can someone could have easily been sitting there at us, you know, as because they it was available to the public who was who if you had the passes to view, go into the Disney booth, let's call it. There could have been someone sitting at the bar on a laptop or on a phone, acting like they're texting, having a full blown conversation through that AI spot. And I think it's kind of what you were saying. It's either it's a Beauty and the Beast transition type of thing, or it's somebody, you know, with an earpiece and a microphone, and they're talking into it, and they're having a real life conversation. But it is the coolest thing that I have seen them do in a long time. Like, it is Tinkerbell and the Lantern having a full blown conversation with it. And people are like, somebody asked her, like, how do you feel about Wendy? And had a full blown Tinkerbell response, like, had the attitude, had everything with it. And it was just so cool. Like, that is something, even with some of these things, even if we don't get these things, like, at a full-blown, like 365 in the parks, I think some of these Blue Sky products that they introduce, like the Judy Hopps thing, or the Hulk, or the Tinkerbell, or even, like, if they were to do a Baymax or a Thanos costume like you were talking about, I think it would be so cool if some of these things were offered at these after-hour events they do. Like, all these after-hour events they do, especially in Disneyland, because we don't really get them a lot in Walt Disney World, but in Disneyland, like with Star Wars nights, and they just had a princess night, and then they do like, what is it, when they do the date night during like February, the lovers night or whatever, the sweethearts nights, yeah. And then we got throwback night coming, like all these cool things they're doing with Blue Sky, they could 100%. Test them at these throwback nights when you have a limited crowd, because most of the people who go to these throwback nights are your Disney adult lovers. Those are the people you would want to test them on. They're going to respect the product.
Yeah, the Tinkerbell, it was that Tinkerbell. This is what's ridiculous, too, with why they brought her back up, like, now, is it was, where was it? She was this technology, they've had it since 2021. They've had
a lot of stuff.
This Tinkerbell, she was play tested at a Touch of Disney event in Disney's California Adventure before the Disneyland Resort theme parks fully reopened.
So I remember this.
They had her at California Adventure in 2021. As just like,
yo, and then people like there. Yo, and then people, like, when, like, media got a hold of it, like, or, like, not media, but when media put it out there, people, like, shit on it, too. Because it looked, like, super low budget and kind of crappy. It wasn't, like, as it is today, where people are like, oh, that is so cool. But it's, like, because nobody gives these things time to develop. These things are such high quality. And, you know, Disney's not going to half-ass something. So it's, like, these things are such high quality. In Imagineering is not gonna, you know, just be like, okay, it's good enough, cool. They're not gonna do Six Flags quality here. Like, they're gonna, if it takes them 10 years to perfect the Hulk thing, they're gonna work on it for 10 years until it is perfect. That is why, that's the best part about Imagineering, is they got the budget, they got the support, and I am one of those advocates of, I don't want it now unless it is perfect. I don't want to be talking to a Hulk and then his arm falls off because they didn't measure it right, or because this didn't happen. I don't want malfunctions in my experiences. That is just me. I want it to be perfect.
I mean, sometimes things are going to happen, like when we were at Disneyland this last trip, we went to have a meet and greet with Iron Man, and Linwell and Ashley walked up to him to have the meet and greet, and he like walked away. I mean, he did it the way he managed to walk away, I have to give the cast member props. There was like a Wakanda show going on, and he's like, hold on one second, and stepped away for that, and like honored the Wakandan, like the Dora Milaje as they were walking by. And then he like looped around away from them and said something to someone and went back inside for a second and then came back out. But we think there was something messing up with their voice box, because the previous person, like, they were talking to them, and then their responses to them, like, was like, no, no, no. Like, it was just, that was, like, the only thing he could say there for a second. And so we were, like, wondering, but, I mean, whatever it was a quick fix, and then he came out and had a great interaction with them and sport and everything like that. But, I mean, yeah, malfunctions happen. The Hulk, I was a little disappointed in that they couldn't figure out a way to walk in the suit better, so it's not like him with his arms out. Like, that felt a little weird to me. I'm just like, y'all didn't figure something out for that? Like, that seems like such a weird thing. But yeah, all in all, I just thought, I know. Well, from their playtest stuff with the suit, it seemed like it was going to be a lot easier to walk in. And, like, there are people who have 3D printed cosplays that walk better than Imagineer. I'm like, why are you not hiring these people? Like, why are you not turning around? Like, even the Iron Man suit, it's okay. It doesn't look great. And I understand that you have to have costumes that fit, like, multiple cast members for multiple people every day to be able to be a character. But it's like, you could put some more effort in. Like, that could be, like, you see these people that are 3D printing multiple Iron Man suits, ones that are comfortable, that they can easily get in and out of for conventions, things like that. There's, like, you could hire one of these people and give them access to the stuff that you have, and I'm telling you, in some cases, in a week, they would have a better looking suit available for you to use long term. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of people with a lot of talent that showcase it, even just on the platforms that we're on, that it just goes unseen. That I'm like, Disney, what are you doing? Like, the parks are reopened. I think another part of the problem too is, and I don't know if they've hired everyone back, but when closure happened, the first people to go were the most expensive, unfortunately. There are a lot of great Imagineers that were let go because they were too expensive during the closure. And I'm not sure all of them have come back. Some of them might have moved on to better paying jobs and just be like, I'm not coming back. You guys didn't treat me with respect. I mean, I could see it either way. But, like, I mean, we know someone that works for the company that they're like, I shouldn't still be here. That works in Imagineering. And they're just like, I shouldn't be here. People a lot better than me that have been here a lot longer than me got let go. Like, they thought they were on the chopping block for sure, but they were cheap. And now they do a bunch of stuff for Disney. But I'm just like, I feel like Imagineering is not what it was. Still,
it's not what it was. It's not, and it's not going to be for a long time. They have a lot of money invested elsewhere, and it's not where it needs to go. It's not at all.
Yeah.
So that's sad to hear too, because it's like, okay, we're gonna get rid of our best Imagineers and best creators and best people, but we're gonna keep the people who we can afford, even though we can afford all of them, is we just ain't gonna do it. That's the crappy part. But then, I mean,
while we're on the notes of Imagineers, I feel like we should observe a short moment of silence for the man himself who passed away today.
I think it was Sunday, wasn't it?
Was it Sunday? Well,
he passed away over the weekend.
Yeah, the announcement was today from Disney Imagineering, though, about Crump.
Raleigh Crump.
Like and like what you said, there's only a few of the greats left. And
it's only a few good Imagineers, good original Imagineers left who worked directly with Raleigh was one of them. If you don't know who Raleigh Crump is, he was one of the original Imagineers who worked on the Haunted Mansion and so many other projects. He was basically the head guy of the Haunted Mansion. I mean, anything that was weird that came to Disney, it went through Raleigh's desk. Yep. So that's he died. I think he was 93 years old. He was 93. Yeah. They didn't specify why, but he passed in his sleep.
I mean, if there's anyone still around that worked directly with Walt, they are going to be. They're going to be getting up there. It just makes
think,
me sad.
I think. I'm trying to think who's still around.
But that's just crazy to think too. Like, had Walt not had cancer, how long would we have had Walt? Where there are people that work directly with him, that, I mean, I know he brought a lot of younger people in, but it's just like, man, we would have had so many more years of Walt and Disney. Who knows what the parks would have been anywhere.
Do you think that if Walt were alive today, do you think he would be happy with what the parks are? Let's just North America. Do you think he would be happy with what direction the parks have been in?
I honestly think it'd be 50-50. I think there's a lot he'd be happy with, and I think there's a lot he wouldn't be. For starters, and this is gonna ruffle some feathers, but I don't think Walt ever intended for the rides that he basically hustled the World's Fair to create, so that which became the original attractions at Disneyland. I don't think he ever expected any of those to still be here over 50 years later.
No.
I mean, those rides were thrown together, half-cocked ideas that he could then turn into something else. Like, okay, someone else paid to have this manufactured. Now I'm going to turn around when we're done with it, and instead of throwing it out, I'm going to put it in my park and everything like that. I don't think any of those rides he would expect to still be there. He'd probably be like, what the heck are you doing? Once he saw the bottom line on what Disney makes annually or what they make daily, it's just like, why do we still have these rides?
He'd definitely hustle people
to be able to open this park. He doesn't have to hustle people anymore, and no. Disney doesn't have to hustle people to make rides. He'd probably be like, why have we not changed these? And that's just my opinion. I think there's a lot that he would be happy with. I think I like to think that seeing if he could come back like today, seeing just how many adults love Disney and fight daily for it, and endure what a lot of Disney adults endure anytime. I mean, we all say it. Oh, my video left the safety of DizTalk. My video left Disney TikTok. It's a term that we all use because there's a very apparent shift in the kind of engagement and the kind of comments you get when a video does quote unquote leave Disney TikTok or Disney Instagram. And it's just to see people still,
when it really hits that, the explore page, or it really hits the for you page. Oh,
yeah. It can get crazy. There's always ridiculous stuff. And
I hear it every day in the barbershop, man. Being in the deep south and where I'm at is an obvious look of the people I'm surrounded by. You know, anything Disney comes on the news, the whole barbershop, everybody in the shop who works there is like, hey, did you see that, John? I'm like, yeah. And then there's always, you know, I'm in the deep south, guys. So there's a lot of people around here who really hate Disney, really hate the company. And so anytime it's brought up on the news or anything, a commercial about a new movie, I don't really get to talk about it at work a lot. I hide it like a lot. Because if not, you hear a lot of really, I've had really mean things said to me at work in general. Like, I've had people tell me I am a Satanist worshiper because I like Disney parks and Disney products. And people are like, I'll never take my kids there. They're teaching them to do this and do that. All the stuff you hear people say, they're teaching them this. It's like, no, they're not, man. Your 9-year-old doesn't know. He just wants to go see Mickey Mouse, bro. But it's the funniest thing. It's crazy, man. It's insane. But I mean, yeah, that's a whole other story though. But I think I kind of agree with you there on the Walt thing. I think Walt would be happy with a lot of stuff. I think he'd be happy with how far the Disney company's come in technology and film. And I also think he'd be really pissed off as to why they're charging the average of $140 a day to walk into a park when they're making billions and trillions of dollars. That is the one thing I think he would be raged over, is the price point that they charge just at parks and hotels and the upcharge they give people. I think he would just be like, dude, we've making all the money in the world. We're making millions and billions just off of Marvel movies. We're making millions and billions a month just off Disney Plus $10 subscriptions.
I'm pretty sure it's it's, I mean, it's rough math and outside of literally getting an aerial view daily, but I'm pretty sure they make millions a week just in parking fees at Disney
just
World.
Just in parking. I mean, think of it just, this way. Just okay, in so it is, it's $25 a day to park. Okay, it's $25 a day.
Or 50.
If it, or 50, depending is, if you get preferred.
Preferred is filled. And preferred every is park filled every immediately. Day, and that is 50 or 25, even if it's an annual pass holder that paid for parking. So every single car in preferred.
So let's say there's 3,000 preferred spots in Magic Kingdom. It's 50 times 3. That's like $150,000 just off of preferred parking.
I did the whole math. I did the math on, like, even at the parking lot. I looked at how much the parking lot capacity was and then said, okay, let's just let's say half. Let's say half the parking lot is full in each park every day. And then let's say half of that half are regular paying guests and not annual pass holders. I mean, I gave it so much leeway and it was still – In the span of a week.
You're pushing $1 million a day in parking. I guarantee you are pushing $1 million a day in parking. And now take off that they just stopped charging for resort parking. Imagine what they were making per day for resort parking. When they were charging for resort parking, which was the dumbest thing they've done in 10 years, to charge people for resort parking. Yeah.
So
man, oh god!
In other news, let's wrap. I think we're
new news.
To the end of this episode. What were you going to say?
I was going to say Tron merchandise was released today. There was a media event today for it. What'd you think about the Tron merchandise? Because I think it was terrible.
I didn't see a Spirit jersey, and this.
Neither did I. I saw one bag. Wasn't Loungefly.
I think people think this is bias of me to say that, but no. Okay, when people look at Disney and you look at what merchandise sells, the three most iconic things that you see so many people in the parks with every single day are ears, Loungeflies, and Spirit jerseys.
Those
are truly the three big sellers of anything. And, like, literally, they have these perfect examples every time there's a festival. The festival has literally Flower and Garden Festival 2023 on it. It has something specific on it. And people go nuts for it. Like, this is a festival item. I want people to know that I was at this festival, and they get it. Or opening day. Opening day merch. Like, think about the 50th.
Day one went crazy.
The 50th Spirit jerseys were gone that day. All but a select sizes and a few random ones left because it said October 1st on it. It had the date. It was a piece of memorabilia that someone could wear as a badge of honor saying, I was there that day.
And I mean, they might have some type of t-shirt for it, but they didn't do it for Guardians, though.
But my thing is, with Spirit jerseys, like, this is iconic. One, I understand that you had a Tron Loungefly at D23. I'm just saying right now, they shouldn't have released that at D23. That should not have been available until opening day. The FOMO and the hype would have been so much bigger on the
You would have sold day. More.
Exactly.
You would have sold more Loungeflies opening day.
But then on top of that, there needed to be ears. Are there ears? I don't remember seeing any.
No. There's one bag, and it's not a Loungefly bag. It's like a pouch bag. They got the disc. They got, like, toys. They have you can go create your own player type of experience thing doing.
Yeah.
They got, a couple of t-shirts and tank tops. Other than that, the merchandise looks cool, but it's nothing that's like, it's nothing that when I walk in there and say, you know what, I think I want a Tron Spirit jersey because I like the 80s or not, whatever this is based out of, the 70s, whatever. I want a black and blue Spirit jersey that has a cool logo, Tron logo on it. But there's nothing there, man.
I think that what we saw is mostly going to be just what store merchandise. I hope there is an opening day shirt, pin, spare jersey, ears. If there isn't, Disney is leaving money. They are leaving so much easy money on the table. I don't know why they don't. Like there should have been a Guardians opening day spare jersey.
I think there's going to be ears and ears.
There should have, like, this is just, it's things that they're not paying attention to. Like, here's the thing. They're not paying attention to what people are asking for. No one asked for a denim colored spear jersey with what's supposed to be like bleach stains on it. No one asked for that.
What about that green and pink one too? I'm not a big fan, like the weird color. You have it. The weird looking one, it's like green and pink, and it's kind of it's like a weird colored cotton candy thing.
Oh, the retro one.
Yeah. This has to have a meeting behind it.
I thought it had a meeting behind it. I still have not been able to confirm that. Yeah, but again, that's not something anyone asked for, and guess what? It's still on the shelves. So this is my thing, is like the people, and again, if there is anyone in Disney development that is listening to this, please, please listen to us. You need to make more IP related spare jerseys. People lose their ever living minds when they get something IP or opening day. Why there wasn't a Fantasmic opening spare jersey? Fantasmic returned after 2 years. You literally could have put Sorcerer Mickey and Maleficent as a dragon on the back of that. Done deal. Sold out opening week. And you could have brought it back.
In Fantasia
sold out
on
again.
The front.
You could have brought it back. It would have sold out again. I'm telling you right now, they've dropped the, like, and then like other things, like in, like I've said it a million times, in Animal Kingdom, there's not enough stuff for in Animal Kingdom. I mean, yeah,
there's not enough Animal Kingdom merchandise.
You made a couple Lion King spirit jerseys, and you made a Way of Water one that's purple. It's not even blue.
Does it glow in the dark?
It does.
Is it luminescent at all? Does it glow in the dark?
A little. The text on it does. The text that you can hardly read because it's the same color as the jersey. It's things like that. It's like, give me Kilimanjaro Safari spirit jersey. Give me a new, not very kid Tokyo-centric Everest jersey. Give me a new Everest jersey. Give me Not My Dino spirit jersey for Dinosaur Ride. Like,
there should be some type of spirit jersey for every ride in Walt Disney World. Somebody's going to buy it.
The store should have
Small
them.
World should, like, will go crazy. Small World spirit jersey go insane.
It takes 2 years. There was a Small World spirit jersey. I have it. It's incredible.
Oh.
It's incredible. Nice. I love it. It's got the design on the front. It's got small. It's a great jersey. But it's just like they're leaving money on the table by not putting more into the actual IP that they have. Like, why there's not, like, anniversary spirit jerseys, too. Like, the 10-year anniversary of Tangled. There could have been a purple spirit jersey with the little Tangled sun on the front and something on the back with the lanterns coming up the back of it. Like, these really simple things that they're not doing. And I
don't
know
why.
Dude,
me and you, we just need to start a jersey shop.
I don't know why they're not caring so much about their actual franchises.
It's funny that you say, like, oh, they need to make more, like, IP-based spirit jerseys, and then it's like, they bring their IPs into the park, and people completely knock on it, like, stop bringing IPs into the park, and it's like, the new generation that they're targeting with the IPs, that is what they know, the way we knew, whatever, you know, the stuff that was brought in during our time, like,
oh, like the
decades. It's so funny. Oh, the decades merch. Oh,
the decades stuff. Why?
God.
Why is the decades merchandise focusing on a single movie? And also, it's the ones that we've already gotten plenty of merch for. I don't need more Snow White merchandise. I don't need more.
Don't
Pinocchio.
Need more Dumbo, like, merch.
We don't need more Dumbo stuff. Like, why are you limiting this collection to a single movie? It's supposed to be the decade. Make a bunch of stuff, like one t-shirt's Dumbo, one t-shirt's this, one hoodie's that. One, like, just give people options. Like, they're limiting themselves to a single franchise to define a decade. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it.
See, what I thought they were going to do with that was whatever trendy, like, fashion theme was being around the parks and, like, park wear, like, the 70s and 80s and stuff. I thought that's what, like, the merch was going to be based around. So, like, that really cool, like, 70s, 80s vibe that we, like, nostalgically always live for. Like, I thought that's where I was like, that's why I was so excited for it. I was like, this is going to be some great merchandise. And they're like, oh, no, we're going to base it around movies, Steamboat Willie, Dumbo, Pinocchio, Snow White. I'm like, this is going to be cool. They're going to bring some retro stuff back. We're going to get almost like a mini vault collection series. And it's going to be dope. That's what but they did it.
People loved the vault collection. People loved the vault collection. I thought, okay, cool. So for the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s, we are going to get merchandise based around characters or from the Walt Disney Company, because obviously the parks weren't open yet. But then 50s on, you are picking, you are making merchandise in the style of the merchandise from those decades. But no.
Like, imagine, bro, imagine they do the 50s and they do a spirit jersey or a lounge fly, whatever, like pins. I forget what that collection's consisted of. But like, or like a plush from like around when it opened in Disneyland.
Yep, I
don't. It's so cool.
There is a lack. There is a lack creatively. It's just there needs to be more focus on what people care about, and it's so weird because I feel like it's a disconnect between merchandising and other departments, because it's just like, okay, who are the people that make the castle shows? Because the people that make the castle shows, they gave us a whole. They put Treasure Planet in there. No one puts Treasure Planet in anything. Like, thank God someone put Treasure Planet into a castle show. But then it's got a whole big Baymax section because people freaking love Big Hero 6. Your biggest market that comes to the U.S. parks is from Asia. They love Big Hero 6. Like, why have we not gotten a better Big Hero 6 spare jersey? We got one of the hoodie ones that was, like, an afterthought. It's just like, why are you not utilizing these things? Like, the people that are making the castle shows and the fountain, like the people that made Fantastic 2.0, the people that made World of Color, the people that made World of Color 1, the people that made whatever the current Disneyland castle show is, they're incredible. They hit the nail on the head with the franchises they need to hit the nail on the head with, and it's somehow getting lost when it gets to merchandising, and I don't understand. We are getting on a tangent. We've been on like a 20-minute tangent. I think this is definitely a point to kind of bring it down and end this week's episode. I am still, despite everything we just got done talking about and venting about, I am very excited for the future that the Blue Sky Projects announced at South by Southwest hold. I will be interested to see what they talk about at Destination D23 later this year.
Are you going?
I am not.
No?
No, tickets sold out very fast.
Oh, yeah. I was just wondering if you were going.
Nope.
I know a lot of locals don't go.
I'm interested to see how Marzoline is in a couple months and whatever they do out at Walt's hometown. And it's just the 100 is going to be interesting, to say the least. I'm hopeful with Iger back at the helm. I'm hoping some things.
There's already been really good changes in the five months he's been back. There's been positive outlooks, and
I mean, they actually lowered the prices a little bit. Like, he lowered the prices and things a little bit, not much, but I mean, they went backwards, not more forward.
I don't want to go another tangent, but just quickly, there was a big call last week that included him, and one of the big focal points of that call, it was like an investor's call. One of the big focal points of this came out of Bob Iger's mouth, of him basically saying, we're looking at ways to lower prices. We're trying to see where we can lower prices.
Yep.
So that is, to me, is positive. Frankly, but I thought that was cool.
Frankly, Bob Iger, if you hear this. Hi Bob, we love you Bob. We don't need Disney Channel originals on Disney Plus.
Not the small ones.
Don't spend the money. If you've got a budget for Disney Channel, let that be Disney Channel. And anyone who doesn't pay for cable will get those movies on Disney Plus, but allow the other studios with their own budgets, allow Pixar to make whatever they want to make for it, allow Marvel and Star Wars to make their shows that they want to make for the platform. Let them operate with their budgets and let that be the original content that can only be found on Disney Plus, along with any of your Disney Channel original content. But there does not need to be Disney Channel original content and Disney Plus original content. They do not. That's a whole budget that you can just scrap right now. No one, like, come on, if we're being honest, most people are watching Disney Plus for new Star Wars and Marvel content, or just to be able to rerun their favorite Disney movies or shows. They're not. I like the Benedict Society, but I also could have gone without it in my life, and any of the other, the High School Musical, the musical, the series. The fact that I even know how to properly say that upsets me. I should not be that easy for me to just rattle off the name of that show. It didn't need to happen. It didn't need to happen. We could have saved that money and put it into the parks to be able to lower prices, to be able to pay people better, to be able to do a bunch of things. So yeah, that's my final 2 cents here at the end of our episode. And I'm learning that we need Nico to keep us in check. We got off on it a little bit tonight. This has been Hot Takes with Cole and John. Nico is the parent of the group and needs to be here. But guys,
we go off.
This is the end of tonight's episode. You guys, John, let them know where they can find you.
You can find me on TikTok and Instagram, just at John's World. So just, I changed my username to John's World. John's that World. Was something I did.
John's World.
So, so you can find me on there.
You guys know me on any of your social media platforms. You can find me at Bibbidi Bobbidi Beard. That's with the B's, not the P's. And definitely be checking stuff too. John, do you have anything fun coming up?
Sarah will be here next week for her spring break.
And
so I get to. Oh, we've been together a year, so
there we go.
And
round of applause.
So we've been together a year. Monday the 13th. So shout out there. Love you.
What else is coming up towards the end of the month?
I don't know what is coming up at the end of the month.
Where are you going to be at the end of the month, sir?
Home.
Aren't you coming to Florida?
Oh no, that got scrapped.
Oh, what? No,
I haven't talked. Okay, so I haven't been able to talk to Cole in like a couple of like weeks because he's been in Disneyland and I've had stuff going on at home. It's been crazy. Yeah, it's been like it kind of might be scrapped. I'm like
MegaCon
because of the ATM situation right now. I don't know when I'm going to get that back. Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna get that. Better be able to get that back. Are you kidding?
No, I talked to him this morning. Here, side note, everybody. I had put in $850 in an ATM on Friday. The ATM restarted as it was counting my money. So there's money in an ATM that's mine. I'm currently in fighting with my bank to get this money back. They told me this morning, March 14th, is because this is going to be at a different later date when these people hear this, that I won't hear anything until March 24th. 10 days.
What?
At the latest. They said it takes 7 to 10 business days. And I'm like, dude, I got taxes next Saturday to do. I'm trying to plan a really nice trip for Sarah and I in July. Like, I'm trying to come down for MegaCon. So, I haven't been wanting to, like, contact you because you've been slammed.
You have a free roof over your head here. Just drive down in the morning for the weekend. You can stay here. Just buy a one-day MegaCon ticket.
I thought about it.
For both of you. And just come down.
No, Sarah's already got a ticket.
Oh, my God.
Sarah's already got a ticket. She's going. Okay, so her brother's meeting Hayden Christian. This is how all this came about. I never told you the backstory. Her brother's meeting Hayden Christian. So he has a photo op, an autograph session. You can bring, like, four people in there and whatever. So it's like, I think, I don't, so like, they're meeting, like, he's meeting Hayden Christian. Her brother probably wouldn't let anyone else in the photo with him. I know her brother's an awesome dude. Very, very, very nice guy once you get to know him. And she's meeting Neville Longbottom.
John.
And Ashley Eckstein's gonna be there again. Oh, yeah! I met Ashley Eckstein!
Oh, yeah? Well, she knows.
Like, So, Ashley, if you're listening to our podcast, I'm the one you met at Atlanta Comic Con that started crying at your booth.
You started No, you didn't.
Yeah, bro. So we're having a conversation. So we're talking, and she leans in and she says, because she just signed the pop. Like, we just got done talking about the podcast, and I got done talking just about you and just how everything's about. And she leans in and she goes, well, just to let you know, in her Ahsoka voice, she goes, you're stuck with me, Sky Guy. Lost it. Tears instantly. And then I was like, oh, that was so great. Cause that's what my girlfriend, that's really what Sarah says to me all the time. She's like, every time I'm like doubting anything, she's like, don't worry, you're stuck with me, Sky Guy. Sarah says to me all the time. So like, I lost it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. I don't even care that you just autographed my Funko Pop. Like, this is the best birthday ever. And she's like, well, happy birthday. And I'm leaving. And I turn around. She goes, oh, and I love your lounge fly. Cause I was wearing the 332nd bag. I was like, thank you.
She called you Sky Guy?
She called me Sky Guy, bro. I'm so red right now. Oh my. Called Sarah crying. I'm like, I'll never believe what just fucking happened to me.
Oh my gosh. Well, you gotta come down. You gotta come down. You could literally you could literally possibly be feet away from Hayden Christensen, which you have to. You have to.
And like, I have a whole, like, Amazon list of, like Star Wars cosplays I was gonna, like, pick up, like, to wear down there and bring, because at one point I was flying, and then because me and Sarah are going to Florida in July for a little getaway, and so I used all, like, most of the points, and
just drive. Sir, it's
like I got like TikToks I can make. Drive. Like it's a 6-hour drive. I can be there by midnight.
Drive down Friday night, stay here. We all go to MegaCon on Saturday, and then you can drive back Sunday morning. Come on.
Oh, I know.
We'll talk offline. Everyone, in the comment section.
Yeah, we gotta go.
Social media, please let John have it. Please tell him he better be here for MegaCon. And to just buy the things in his Amazon wish list, because it's all going to get sorted out with his...
And her mom just sent me a $30 Amazon gift card for my birthday, Sarah's mom did.
There you go. Okay. All right, everyone. That is it for this episode. Next episode, we're kind of starting a new structure where every other episode is going to be that kind of game structure. So it might be a little bit shorter. It's going to be just a little bit more fun. And laid back. So every other week you should get something a little bit more serious like this, a little bit more of us talking about current news or subjects going on. And then in the off week, in the opposite week, you'll get a little bit more of that comedic game. That'll probably be a shorter, like 30-minute episode or so, just because we all have pretty busy schedules. It's just an easier structure for us, and I hope you guys enjoy it. But again, you know where to find us both on all social medias. John is at John's World, and then myself at Bibbidi Bobbidi Beard. And everyone have a wonderful night, and we'll see you next time.